Before I get into God's Word, just got a few stories to tell, things that are going on. As many of you know, my mum died recently. In fact, I was supposed to be preaching here the Sunday, just the day before she went to glory. But on the Tuesday following, I was down at my parents' house. And obviously, it's quite an emotional time. And my dad was there, my older brother was there. And the people were coming to collect the bed that my mum had been in for the last 4 years. And I kind of said to my dad and my brother, look, you go out. You don't want to be here when they turn up. You go and have some time out, and I'll see these two guys. And these two guys turn up. The only way I describe them is they were like the Chuckle Brothers. They were utterly inept, right? So they walk into the front room. There's the bed sitting there, and they go, oh, that's old. They said, did someone die in it? I said, yes, my mum did. Oh, was it painful? Look, I said, look, just pick it up and get it out. You know, like, please. And so they kind of ripped this bed apart, they scratched the wall, and they went. And it was just awful. Okay, it was my lowest point. And while all this is going on, my phone rings. And I kind of ignore it because I just thought, I haven't got the energy to pick up the phone to talk to anyone. Just can't be bothered. And then it just keeps ringing and ringing because it's gone to voicemail. And I'm close to throwing the phone out the window, you know, after these two guys. I pick it up just to switch it off, really. And there's this South African voice. It says, oh, Mr. Davis, I've got a building for you in Pontypridd. You can have it rent-free for the first year. Oh, it's the Stardust Bingo Center. Now, the Stardust Bingo is a usable auditorium in the whole of the valleys. And I've got the keys to it. And it's completely bonkers. I'm sure I shouldn't have signed the lease, and I've got lots of trustees panicking. But the great thing is, John has been in there with some of my kids cleaning up this week, doing an amazing job. So he's going to be the caretaker of the building. And it's got a lot of work, but you guys know about work and buildings. A lot of work to do. But then, of course, you get in and then you realise that RCT don't particularly want us in there because they wanted to knock the building down and do flats. And so suddenly now we've got a bit of a battle, and I really appreciate your prayers because this week I've been receiving letters from them saying that at this moment in time I am personally liable for the rates, business rates on the building, while we can convince them that there's a charity involved and everything else. And so that's £26,000. So I'd really appreciate your prayers, because it's funny, you take a step of faith and then you think, what have I done? And that's been what this week has been like. So please pray. It's very exciting and partly terrifying, because you kind of sit there and think, you know, there's only 40 of us, and what on earth are we doing this for? And, you know, I have those moments thinking, what on earth? But God's got some plan. And even if it's just a temporary thing, it tell you what, it's lifted our eyes to think, cool, God could do anything. And, you know, something's going on. So that's been exciting. It's lovely to see Pastor Stewart. I noticed when the Americans come, you put a smart shirt on. When I turn up, you put your Darth Vader shirt on. You know. And, Stuart, just out of interest, who were the famous Welsh international on Friday night? Well done. There's a fantastic Facebook entry, which is what a great time, really good. And what a lovely surprise to see the Welsh internationals joining us. See photograph. And it's just that moment which is, I haven't got a clue either. It was so funny. We're sitting there, me and Liz at the back, and Liz turns to me, and because of course I'm quite a rugby fanatic, turns to me and says, so who are they? And I said, well, to be truth be told, I think one of them got one cap at some point in Wales. I don't think the other one ever played ever. So it was kind of interesting. But it was a great evening. It was really fun to be with you. Really fun. And I think now you should all wear black shirts all the time. And yeah, go American. I think that's the way ahead. But it's really good. Just another thing. The churches we're working with, I've got a relationship with some churches in Germany. And really great. There's a church in a town called Dona, just outside the city of Dresden, who have also got a massive castle that they've taken on. It's a big building project. And they've also got a vision of planting a church into Dresden. And the churches we've been working with from Manchester, in sort of the Midlands, in Wales, we're thinking, hey, wouldn't it be great to really build a good link in with the guys in Germany, a real friendship link? And so next year, we're going to do a thing called Mission Fest, which is going to be part holiday, part mission, part teaching, but it's going to help them plant a church in Dresden. And the plan is to get 100 people from the UK together with 100 people from Germany, and for us to have just a fantastic time. There's going to be camping, there's going to be youth hostels, there's going to be hotels. Any accommodation that you need can be provided for you. There's going to be lots of food. I know the Germans, there'll be a lot of barbecues, lots of meat, and lots of beer and other things. So it'll be a fantastic, June the 25th. I think it's around that sort of time. I'll confirm those dates with you. But if you would like to come, just put that in your diary. And the plan is, you find your own way there, and then we all have a great time. But it's such a beautiful city that it's just worth a visit. And it's one of the things I get really excited about the kingdom of God. You know, I always get excited. When we moved into Rivellen in Ponte, down the road from us, I met this lady. And she asked, oh, where are you from? And I said, oh, we've just moved from Cardiff. She goes, oh, I've never been to Cardiff. And it really hit me. You're there thinking, you live 10 minutes away from the city. Oh, never been to Cardiff. She was in her 30s. It wasn't like she was really elderly. Never been. And you think, when the kingdom of God comes, isn't it exciting that actually suddenly people have to get passports because we're going to go and do something in Germany? And then the plan is then, in the following year maybe, that we do it in Wales, because we've got holiday places as well, that would be good. And we do another mission fest where the Germans come over and join us in Wales. And maybe we plant a church out of that as well. So that's kind of the vision. So please think about that and pray about it. I want to preach this morning on prayer. And it's something I found that this week I've had to do quite a lot of. In fact, I found a quote and it said, weak people pray, strong people don't. You say, oh, well, I'm strong. Actually, do you know what? The reality is when God starts moving, you realize, cool, I'm weak. Paul says, I will boast in my weakness because that's where the power of God will be perfected. It's interesting that the biggest sort of building adventure I've ever gone on came at the point of my total weakness. And suddenly this is there. And I thought, we weren't even looking for a building. And I still have moments thinking, what are we doing? Why are we going into this thing? It's not even a pleasant room. You know, it's got years of tobacco on the ceiling. But the ceiling is like 80 meters up, it feels like. It's huge, you know. There's no way we're going to get up there. And it's kind of, what? But actually, in weakness, we pray. And I want to look at some passage, which hopefully today will excite us about prayer and excite you about your own personal walk with God and actually how important prayer is. I'm going to talk from Matthew 6 and just two verses from 5 and 6, just before he talks on, Jesus teaches on the Lord's Prayer. It says this, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and are seen by others. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Well, hopefully today you'll get excited by the simplest nature of prayer, but by the great adventure that God's got for you in prayer. Now, I've known probably two times in my life, well, probably quite a few times, that I felt God call me a hypocrite. One time was on a Sunday morning. At the time, I was leading a church in Stockport, up in Manchester. The five kids we've got were, at that point, probably all under seven. And it was one of those mornings where we're getting into the building. And I wanted to get there early. So I've kind of said to everyone, come on, Liz, I want to leave by 10 o'clock. You know, quarter to 10, I want to come on, we need to get there for a 10:30 start, and all of this. And then life kicks in. And Sunday morning, kids not getting out of bed, or nappies needing changing just before you leave. Liz suddenly announcing that she's going to go and do her hair. And I remember the atmosphere and the tension began to rise, you know, and what was nice and relaxed started to me saying, come on, we've got to get out, we've got to leave, look at the time. And the voice comes back, yes, okay, I've just got to get myself sorted. I'm getting kids in the car, come on. By the time we drive out of the driveway, there is total silence in the car. There is tension and silence all the way to church. Now, you're all sitting there thinking, we've never, ever had this in any shape or form on a Sunday morning. We wake up on a Sunday morning and the grace of God abounds in the room. We jump out of bed and say, glorious Lord, what a day you have given us. And we skip to church happy to praise the Lord. Well, we turned up and we drove into the school car park. And there's that moment where you drive into the school car park, you park the car, I open the door, and I go, hi, to someone, and smiling and happy, and then we walk into the building, and hi, how are you? You okay? Oh, yeah, it was great, brilliant, fantastic. And the worship started, and I was there, my hands in the air, worshipping, and I felt God say, you hypocrite. You utter hypocrite. This isn't what you're like today. So I actually had to stop the meeting. I came to the front and said, guys, can we just stop? I said, listen, before I can worship, I've got to say, Liz, I'm sorry I was a pig this morning. Sorry I put too much pressure on you. She goes, that's all right. I forgive you this time. It's great, do it publicly. She can't say no. And so I go, and then I said, guys, did anyone else turn up this morning in a foul mood? Does anyone else have a really horrible morning? A number of hands went up. I said, look, I turned up not talking to my wife. And then suddenly I put this stupid, smiley Christian face on. And God's just called me a hypocrite. I said, it's not very nice. Why do we do it? So now we don't want to turn up everyone miserable. But we want to be honest. We want to get things right before we come into the presence of God. Not pretend that everything's fine and not right. And I remember that really hit me. Another time I was leading a large prayer meeting in Manchester for the Message Trust and the Manchester churches. And there was a church, about 1,000 people. And I just at the front said, go on, let's lift our voices out now and pray for Lev and Sue. And I'm there going, oh, Lord. And, I said, come on, guys. Let's lift our voices together. And I start crying out and people are crying out. And I hear God say, nice to hear your voice, Andrew, for the first time this week. But God. Here I am leading a prayer meeting and I hadn't spent any time with God that week. And it just hit me. I felt God say, don't bring something publicly unless privately you're with me. And it just hit me. When you look at this passage, you see Jesus teaching on prayer. And it starts off by looking at the hypocrites, which all of us can fit in at some point. You know, I could have given you lots of stories of my hypocrisy, and it would be an entertaining morning, but it probably wouldn't help you in any shape or form. But in a sense of actually, all of us have known this. And one of the things is, the truth be told, when we talk about prayer, not many people are going, oh yes, I love prayer. I'm brilliant at prayer. Oh, brilliant. You know, we all know prayer is important. We all know it's something as Christians that is key to who we're supposed to be. You've heard quotes like, prayer isn't preparation for the battle, prayer is the battle. You've heard people talk about prayer, but if you put on seminars and say, I'm talking on prayer, it will be the least attended seminar. Everyone else has gone to the healing ones or the prophetic ones or the social action ones, but prayer will tend to be the one no one goes to. We find prayer difficult. You know, I find it amazing when I go to have a prayer time or I'm going to study the word or something, how often something distracts me. How often my phone goes off. You thought, well, I better just answer this. PPI, well, that's fascinating. Well, it's funny that you've rung just now. You know, I was just praying, and maybe you're the answer to my prayer for £26,000. Kind of like, you know, the distractions are there. It's amazing how often the TV remote control seems to be on top of my Bible. Well, I just catch on the news. It's just the distractions. But I just want this morning, hopefully, to excite us and see prayer quite differently. Rather than something you have to do, but something that is actually the most incredible, wonderful thing. Prayer is this simple. Jesus says prayer is simply talking to your Heavenly Father. It's basically your relationship with God. It's that simple, that intimate. So let's see the different types of prayer. Hypocritical prayer, both types of prayer get rewards. Jesus says, when you pray, don't pray like the hypocrites. Now these people, and this isn't Jesus saying public prayer is wrong. He's saying public prayer that has no private prayer is wrong. public prayer that goes for attention is wrong. And this is what these type of people are. These are the religious people of the day. They'd come in their finery, all their smart clothes. They would walk to a position, maybe the street corner or into the synagogue, where they would look around, make sure everybody is watching, and then go, "Yahweh, here I am, O holy God." And everyone would look and say, "Look at that man's prayer. Look at that woman's prayer. Wow, look at the words they're using. So impressive. Such long religious words. I don't understand what they mean, but wow, how educated they must be." And everyone looks and says, "Wow, aren't they impressive?" And the person after the prayer goes, "Thank you. Thank you." Jesus says, they've got their reward. Hypocritical prayer can be very impressive. Hypocritical ministry can be very impressive. It can look great. The trouble is this. Everyone watching is the reward that that person gets. They will pray out the most wonderful prayers and everyone say, "Wasn't that brilliant?" They'll all look and say, "Wow, that person's really educated, really knows their Bible, really knows the law, really knows God." The trouble is, there's one person not listening to that prayer. There's one person who's not the slightest bit interested in that prayer. And that's the person who should be listening. And that's God. And what you see in this passage is that these people who pray in this manner, everyone around is impressed, but God isn't even listening to the request. Because it's not directed to God. It was directed to everyone else. And sometimes I think in our own prayer life, you can ask yourself a simple question. When I pray, am I trying to encourage, strengthen people? Am I trying to draw people? Or am I actually wanting people to spot me? These people wanted to be spotted. And they wanted to be praying out so others would hear. Now, as I said, this isn't Jesus saying public prayer is wrong. Because the early church all do public prayer. So many moments of my life have been impacted in prayer meetings. Where someone's prayed to me, you think, "Cool, that's brilliant. That's helped me into my presence of God. That's been wonderful." But here, the whole point of the prayer is to be heard. There's no intimacy with God. There's no adventure. There's no life-changing moments. It's just, "Look at me." And everyone goes, "Yes, well done. Next." They've got their reward. And God says, "I didn't hear a word of it." So Jesus says, "I don't want you to pray like that. I don't want that hypocritical prayer. That's not what prayer's about. Prayer isn't about, look at me. Prayer is actually about you going and meeting with God." Jesus makes an incredible statement at this point. He says it's about you meeting your Father. Now, the thing that offended the religious people of the day was that Jesus talked about God as Father. It was totally offensive. They were like, "You can't talk about God as your Father." And not only did Jesus do it, he then told his disciples, "Oh, by the way, when you pray, you say, 'Our Father who art in heaven.'" That actually what Jesus is saying here is, you, because of me, you've got intimacy with the Father. You can go and pray and seek him and be right in his presence and cry out to him. You know, I remember a few years ago being in a prayer meeting. And the guy leading it said, "Now," there were lots of people from different nations, said, "Pray out to God in your own language." And there was this wonderful moment when a man from Sierra Leone just goes, "Papa God!" I love that. "Papa God!" It wasn't quite so impressive when the German prayed, "Vater!" "Oh, Vater!" It's like, what? Yeah, German is not a language of intimacy. I did a wedding a while ago, and I was doing it. I think they were saying to each other they loved each other. It sounded like they were declaring war on each other. It's kind of, it's just an interesting, aggressive language. But it was kind of, it's quite funny. But actually, this, what Jesus is saying here is your prayer life is you are having contact with the great I am, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who sustains everything. When you lift your heads and look around the valleys, you know, it's funny sometimes you have to have the Americans come and remind us how beautiful our country is. You know, when they start saying, "Isn't it glorious?" Think, "Oh, actually, you know what it is? It's beautiful. Driving over today, over the heads of the valleys, you think, apart from the roadworks, it's stunning. It's beautiful. And you think the one who created all of that, the great I Am who created it, and it used to be more impressive before the fall, all this great beauty is the one that you can go and have intimacy with in your prayer life. He's the one when you start praying is listening. He's the one who's saying, come on, what should we do? Come on, let's hear your heart. Come on, get to know me. Come and have this intimacy. I always have my mobile phone near me. If I travel, I always like my mobile phone near me. And because it's my link to home. You know, I love to be able to send a text to Liz and get a reply. I find it's sometimes a bit of my security. I remember once going to India and realizing I'd left the plane and the phone was still on the plane and running back to get it. Because I thought it was almost like as soon as I lost my phone, I'd feel really homesick, you know, and having this intimacy. And we've now got used to it. There would be once a day when people traveled, you know, they'd have to send a letter and it'd be months before there'd be any connection at all. I think I was right to be designed for this period of time, not for then. You know, I was not designed. I don't like travel, and it's bizarre sometimes that I have to do so much. But actually, to have that contact, what God is saying is actually the contact he wants us to have is like that. But we don't need a phone. You can have intimacy all the time with the great I Am. You can talk to God. Now, that means God's got some great adventures for you in prayer. If you come and meet with him, he's got astonishing things that he wants of you. A few weeks ago, there was the Judgment Day at the Millennium Stadium, and it was when the four regions played each other, which is kind of strange having written in your diary for a while, Judgment Day. You know, that kind of it was slightly alarming every time you kind of looked and thought, I've got Judgment Day in my diary. That's a bit worrying. Make it even worse, I had to pay £10 for it. So it was like I questioned my theology. But going there, it was great. There's a group of us there. We watched the first match. It was Cardiff Blues v the Ospreys. And that was where the Ospreys won, which for my son, who's a Cardiff Blues supporter, that was not so good. I'm a Scarlet supporter. So the next match, Newport v the Scarlets. I was getting into it. I watched half an hour of really boring rugby when suddenly my son, Evan, rings me and says, Dad, he's working in Cardiff. At my wife's nursing home in the kitchens, and he rings, Dad, all the buses are cancelled because of the rugby. I can't get home. What should I do? I said, why don't you come into the stadium? Come into the stadium, I'll meet you, and we'll give you a lift home. Okay, great. And he rings a few minutes later, Dad, I'm in the stadium. Brilliant, where are you? We're here, this corner. He is at that corner. Okay, now that seems okay, apart from it's a south stand, which is shut. So the only way to get there is to go all the way around the whole stadium. But of course, me being me, I kind of walk out, see this big metal door, and I think, I'm going to bang on that metal door and see if I can go through the south stand. Bang, 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 door opens. There's a mate of mine on the other side. Ian, I said, oh, he says, hi, Andrew. I said, can I get through? Evan's the other side. So he leads me through. I get the other side, meet Evan. We walk back through the stand. Just me and my son walking along. And we're having this fantastic conversation, talking about the day he's had, talking about everything going on. And there's this moment where we realize there's 56,000 people in the stadium all watching the rugby match. And in the south stand, it's just me and Evan walking along. And we're having this conversation. And as we're walking along, Evan suddenly turns to me and says, hey, Dad, this is great, isn't it? I said, what do you mean? He says, this is the sort of thing I'm always going to remember. This moment with my dad walking through the stand on our own while everyone else is watching the rugby. Just happens, at that point, Llanelli was scoring lots of tries. But I didn't see any of them. But I had time with my son as we're walking along. And as we're walking along, I suddenly look at him with his backpack on his back. I go, Evan? He goes, yeah? I said, have you got your chef's knives in that bag? Yes, Dad. Let's keep walking. The most armoured man who's ever got into the Millennium Stadium. There he is with his cleavers. And let's keep going. Let's get in. He keeps opening it out and saying, I've just bought some food. Put it away. You know. But it was just this moment. And it just made me think, that is what Jesus is talking about here. We can have that humanly with people that we're close to. Those moments of intimacy that are just brilliant and you laugh about. And you think, I love that. That moment for Evan and for me, we won't forget because it was just brilliant. That moment. I've had moments like that with all my kids. It's brilliant. And that's what Jesus is saying. That's what prayer is. Prayer is that there are those moments where life is going on, everything else is going on, but you are suddenly in the presence of God and having a conversation with him, saying, Lord, Father, what should we do here? What about this? You've got that intimacy. Prayer isn't a matter of proper technique. It's about intimacy with God. So suddenly when people talk about, oh, and pray, it's not like I've got to do that as well. I remember there was a point when I became a Christian. It felt like, oh, great, I know God. This is really exciting. And then someone said, now you've got to read your Bible. Have I? Oh, dear, okay. Not the best reader in the world, right? I'll start trying to read this. And then someone gave me those notes, you know, those dreadful notes. Sorry. Those notes that have dates on it. And you find yourself, you know, a few months behind. And so you have one day, your catch-up day, to get back to spirituality. Oh, I'm doing really well. I'm back on schedule. And it's this pressure. And then someone said, oh, and you've got to pray as well. Pray? So I've got to read the Bible, I've got to pray. And what else have I got to do? Go to church, okay, I've got to do this. Suddenly, your life is totally governed and changed. And then one day I suddenly realized, I can't do this. And I was in a meeting and someone talked on the grace of God. And someone said, you don't have to do any of this. You do it because you want to. Everything in my life changed that day. Everything. So rather than me feeling like I've got to pray, got to read my Bible, got to go to church, got to be nice to the Christians, all this changed. Because suddenly it wasn't I had to. It was because I knew God. I wanted to. Everything changed. Suddenly I thought, wow, I want to know this God better. And the only way I can get to know him better is by reading the Bible, by spending time with him in prayer, getting to know him. And suddenly, I had this amazing thing, is as I got to know him, he started to speak to me. Even my prayer time, I started to hear him. You know, I did some teaching recently on prophecy. And the thing that hit me about prophecy is this. All of us can hear God. And this is, I want to put this, you know, sometimes we think of the Catholic Church, and one of the things people would say about the Catholic Church, we'd see that it's a problem, is the only way to get to Jesus is you've got to go via the priest. So you go to the priest, through the priest then lets you get to Jesus. Or you go via a saint to get to Jesus. And the whole thing of the gospel is this, you don't have to go through anybody. You've got access directly into the throne room of God. So when you pray, you don't have to go via someone, you go straight there because Jesus has made the way. No one else needs to get in the way of this. Ever. However, we're part of a body which is to strengthen, encourage, support one another. A place where you can confess sins and people can show you the grace of God. It's a place where we do life, yet we don't have to go via anyone to the presence of God. In the same way of prophecy, it's almost like sometimes the charismatics can go the other way. So we know we can go straight into the presence of God because of Jesus and this is wonderful. But sometimes we think the only way we can hear God, we've got to go to the prophet, the oracle. Got to have a word being brought to us. And, oh, I feel special now I've heard God. No, you can go straight to God and speak to him, and he can speak to you. The thing I find so often about prophetic words that have shaped my life have been that they've confirmed what God was already speaking to me. And then you suddenly think, oh, that's what I felt God's been saying to me. Well, that's good, isn't it? That makes a bit of sense. Brilliant. Now, I'm not belittling prophecy. In fact, I'm saying it's actually wonderful. It's brilliant, but we mustn't make the prophet the oracle like the Catholic Church makes the priest the entrance. That actually, prayer is a place where you can go and enjoy the Father and you can hear him speak. You know, on Thursday morning, I was going to a prayer meeting with all the other leaders in Pontypridd. And I got up a little bit late, so I'm running a bit late. I hadn't slept very well. I'd had my head spinning around these rates and this building, and I was not in a good way. I get to my car, I get in, think, right, I've got to get to the meeting. I look, and it says empty. Totally empty. And there's that moment, you think, oh, okay, I'll quickly throw it. I'll put £10 in, just get to the meeting. I'll sort it out later. go to Tesco's, put the Tesco's card on, click, comes back saying, do you want your 16p off a litre? I was half asleep, I press yes. Suddenly you think, I can't just put £10 in now. I've got to fill the whole thing up. I'm going to be late for my meeting because I've got to fill this stupid car. I'm standing there. And I'm standing there for ages, this pump going slower and slower and slower. And our van takes so much. I'm starting to panic at how much is going in and keep thinking, well, at least I'm saving 16p a litre. That's good. And there. All I'm thinking is, I suddenly hear God say, Mr. Davis. Interesting. That's what Liz calls me when she's telling me off. Mr. Davis, this car is like you at the moment. Empty. Running on empty. Stop and get filled up. Stop and get filled up. And don't say you haven't got time, because you have to be filled. And do you know what? That was a real turning point for me this week. It was just a moment of, yeah. And I've got to make sure, in all the busyness this coming week, that I give myself time to be filled up again. And the place that happens is prayer. The great I Am, the creator of heaven and earth, is saying to you, do you want to go on an adventure? Come and pray. Suddenly your these things happen. There's a reward for relational prayer. It says, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. What type of reward might God give you for those who do prayer like this? I think it's a lifetime of adventure. Suddenly finding yourself praying for something and suddenly seeing something happen. You think, cool, I prayed for that. That's astonishing. Or suddenly you're praying and you suddenly get the thought of someone you've got to pray for and you start praying for them. And then later you send a message saying, I was praying for you today. And they say, wow, you have no idea. Just at that moment in time, this and this was happening. And wow, thank you that you prayed. You know, I took some time for a while. There was a family in the church. All their kids had gone right away from God. And I felt God say, give some time, just pray and fast for them. So I was praying and fasting for these kids. And I would give a day a month doing this. And as I was praying, the amazing thing was then watching these kids coming back to God. And there you're thinking, wow, this works. This is astonishing. You know, I've known times as well where actually the reward is what you see in Philippians 4, verse 7, where it says, you will receive a peace that surpasses understanding. You know, me and Liz have known times in our life where there's no reason we should feel peaceful. You know, when we were going through all the miscarriages, we had 5 miscarriages and Liz nearly died. There were moments in prayer where you ended up with this peace that couldn't explain it. People would say, why are you feeling so peaceful about this? I don't know. I guess it's a reward for prayer. You know, when that whole court case and Liz was living through that, there were moments of utter peace. When I took my eyes off God, I panicked like a headless chicken. Peace. God makes life pretty simple. We make it ridiculously complicated. Jesus says, when you pray, say, Our Father, who's in heaven. Cool, you've got a great name. And you can come and meet him. And say, Lord, let your kingdom come. The amazing thing is, part of the reward is you'll see the kingdom of God come. What Jesus is describing here is that actually our prayer life should be like an iceberg. What's seen as public is the tip of the iceberg. What's in private is the deep bit. When it's the other way round, it's a bit all over the place. The bit in secret is a bit that does damage. And just to end, I just want to say, prayer also lasts. The strange thing about this is that everything else in our life disappears, but prayer remains. Our relationship with God remains. I'll just end by saying, my mum, who had Alzheimer's, as each sort of phase of her life disappeared and as each other bit of her understanding went, all that was left at the end was her relationship with Jesus. If you went in and said, Jesus, she'd go, lovely, Jesus. Right till the very end, she knew Jesus. And the amazing thing is, she now knows him even better. As all the other memories went, had no idea who I was, and right at the end, no idea who my dad was. The thing that remained was her relationship with Jesus. This is worth investing in. This is for eternity. This lasts. And people say, what's my legacy going to be? Well, why don't you pray? Then you'll have an amazing legacy. A relationship with God that lasts and lasts and lasts. Let me just read this last quote to end. The greatest problem we face is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. Tragically, many of our prayers are so vague that if God were to answer them, we wouldn't even know it. Today God says, do you want to go on a secret adventure with me? Do you want to go anywhere that's possible? Then pray. Because there's great things in store for you. Can we stand? Father, I want to thank you for the grace of God. I want to thank you, Lord, that none of us deserve the right to come into your presence, but because of your Son, we've all got the right, because you've made it possible. And Lord, I want to pray that today you'll excite us in prayer. I want to pray that today, Lord, there'll be some amazing adventures of prayer that will take place. I want to pray, God, you'll capture again the sheer joy that we can come and meet with the great I Am, the creator of heaven and earth. We can come right into your presence and hear you, and you speak to us and we speak to you. Lord, I want to pray that prayer will be very real and very precious. Whether it be on the bus or in the car, whether it be walking along the hills, whether it be at work, whether it be at school, whether it be at home, wherever it is, give us those moments, Lord, of utter intimacy with you. In your awesome name, please. Amen. With everyone eyes shut, if you know, do you know what? My prayer life just has been rotten. It stinks, and I want to have grace to go for it again. If that's you, just every eye shut, just lift your hand and just say, actually, I want my prayer life to be on fire. Lord, I want to pray now. Father, not judgmental, not, oh, well, that's really bad. But Lord, I want to pray just for the joy of prayer. I want to pray, God, it wouldn't be, oh, I've got to do this like my homework. Lord, that's how I've treated it for years. But Lord, rather it be, hey, I can have intimacy with God, the Father. Help us, Lord. And Lord, I want to pray. Help us, Lord, not to be hypocrites, but to be who exactly you've called us to be. In your awesome name. Amen.